Defense officials have long signaled that the third edition of their acquisition improvement program, now in its fifth year, would focus primarily on one of their biggest concerns with military modernization, that the U.S. is losing its technological edge, partially due to an underinvestment in new research and development. Deputy Defense Secretary Bob Work.
Secretary Carter, myself, and Frank Kendall have all talked, and we're talking about it constantly now, about the fact that other countries have been investing very, very heavily in advanced capabilities while we have been constrained in doing so. And they have been pushing specifically, since they can study the way we go to war and the way we do business, they can apply their resources in a very, very targeted way. So whereas Better Buying Power 1.0 and 2.0 focused on reforming our acquisition processes and making them more efficient, Better Buying Power 3.0 is primarily about providing dominant capabilities to the warfighter to try to maintain that technological overmatch that we've always enjoyed, and if anything, to try to extend it, if at all possible.
One of the ways adversaries have been studying the U.S. approach to military capability has been by exfiltrating designs through cyberspace, hence the new emphasis on cybersecurity, the first time cyber has been mentioned as part of Better Buying Power. Among the directives in the latest edition, the DoD Chief Information Officer and the department's acquisition leadership will draft an update to the department's main acquisition guidebook, making clear that program managers must build in plans to ensure cybersecurity throughout an acquisition program's lifecycle. Frank Kendall is the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics.
Cybersecurity is a pervasive problem for the department. It's a pervasive problem in the sense that it affects and is a danger, if you will, a source of risk for our programs from inception all the way through retirement. And it includes the industrial base that supports us and their databases and their information. It includes what we hold in government. It includes the logistics support information, the sustainment information, the design information, the tactical information. Everything associated with the product is a potential point of attack. And we are under attack in the cyber world, and we've got to do a better job protecting our things. So cybersecurity is going to be a major emphasis going forward that all of our managers need to be much more conscious of, and we need to be much more attentive about best practices there and, again, staying ahead of the threat.
The implementing instructions DoD issued on Thursday ordered the military services to catalog especially critical acquisition programs that ought to be receiving more cybersecurity attention than they're getting right now. They also expressed special concern about unclassified technical information that the department views as underprotected from cyber theft, despite an update to acquisition regulations last year which required contractors who hold that sort of data to take extra precautions and report any potential breaches immediately.
We put out some guidance through the DFAR last year, tightening up our requirements on industry. In fact, there were no requirements on industry for protection of unclassified technical data, and we were losing a lot of it through cyber theft. So we put some security requirements out. We're going to revisit those as we get some more data on that this year and see if they're tight enough. We're losing a lot of time advantage and a lot of financial advantage by having this data be extracted from us. We need to think about every interface that a weapon system has, and whether it's accessible through cyber methods or not. We need to think about all of the systems that weapon system touches or is dependent upon. So there's a discipline we have to put into our management of this, and we need to make it just a higher priority than we have in the past. And we're finding, as we look at weapon systems that were here a long time ago, that very little thought was given to this. And we're having to react in a few cases because of things that were done then.
Thursday's guidance also tells the military services, the DoD CIO, the Defense Security Services, and the Defense Intelligence Agency to create a new joint analysis capability to use intelligence data to predict cyber threats to acquisition programs and to better protect them. More broadly, Better Buying Power 3.0 envisions a much tighter linkage between DoD's acquisition system and its intelligence components than exists today. The guidance tells managers to work with the intelligence community throughout their program's life cycles to identify critical intelligence parameters, measures that can help DoD determine whether the big systems it's building are still relevant to the threats it might face. If one of those parameters is breached, it might suggest that a program needs to change its design or be canceled altogether.
We have to react to the threats. I mean, if the threat is changing, we can't ignore that. I remember when ADATS is the Army Air Defense System from years ago, when we canceled the program, it was because the Soviets at the time had built a weapon that could clearly overmatch the weapon we were building. It was going to be obsolete when it hit the battlefield. And I remember the program manager coming to me, and he was very upset that we were canceling his program. He said, well, I met my requirement. You know, we buy these things to be dominant on the battlefield, and if they're not going to be dominant on the battlefield, we've got to stop buying them. So what we're trying to do there is tighten the loop. We don't want to have requirements churn where we're constantly changing requirements. So we got to manage this carefully. But on the other hand, because threats are now moving at a rate that we've gotten a little complacent about, frankly, we got to pay closer attention. And we got to make intelligent adjustments. F-35 is already starting, thanks to some support from the Congress, to do the follow-on development after the Block 3F code that's the kind of the basic code we're buying. And the reason we need to start follow-on development is that the threats are changing. And we have to respond to them. Part of the modular design idea that I've talked about is to give us the opportunity to change our systems when the threats change and increase our requirements when we have to.
As part of that, the acquisition and intelligence directorates within the Office of the Secretary of Defense are working with the Defense Intelligence Agency to keep the acquisition system up to date with what other countries are doing through a consolidated library termed Validated Online Lifecycle Threat, or VOLT. A plan to transition to that joint system is due to DoD acquisition leaders by this August. Among the 34 major points in the final version of Better Buying Power 3.0, only two are new additions compared to the draft version DoD released for comment last fall. Aside from the cybersecurity edition, the department is also using the process to explore ways to cut out unproductive requirements on industry. But DoD also thinks that in some cases it needs to impose new requirements. Under the heading of making more productive use of its research and development dollars, the Pentagon says it plans to tighten up its policies on how it reimburses companies for independent research and development. Kendall says over the past two decades, the department has taken a laissez-faire attitude toward what it counts as IRAD, and that approach has not been helpful. Going forward, any IRAD dollars companies are reimbursed for will need a government sponsor to have pre-approved the project.
Having someone in the government who has reviewed your planned work, your project, and said, yep, signed off, yeah, I think that that's reasonable work for somebody to do. Just find anybody anywhere in the Defense Department who will do that for you, essentially. I don't think it's a very high hurdle for people to get over. And it also it enhances the communication between industry and government to have that requirement in place. I have seen some behaviors, and they're not general, but I've seen enough of them to make me nervous, by industry. I've seen some behaviors where people have made what I think is de minimis investments designed more to define intellectual property than to actually advance technology. We want that balance restored a little bit. The other places where people are, in some cases, asserting that they will use future IR&D expenditures in order to lower the evaluated price on a bid. That's not really what we want people to be doing with IRAD. So we're looking at that as well, something we do something about.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.